It's our time. We must rise up and no longer disparage. It's our time, church, to honor our heritage. We have a Savior. He gave it all on the cross. We stand beside martyrs who counted nothing as loss. They took God's mysteries, opened them up for us. Stephen, John the Baptist, Bonhoeffer, Jan Hus. Surrounded by a cloud of witnesses above, it's now our turn to model His unending love. Our mission is one we cannot confuse, nor muddy up with some trite excuse. You say you're not well-versed, ready, or able. I think Moses even tried to use that fable. The time we have, it's now more urgent. If we should hear, well done, faithful servant. Yeah, church, it's our time. It's our time to confess the ways we're mangled, the sins and selfishness that have us entangled. Lust, greed, and pride, their path leads to the grave. Yet we return to our sins as if we're a slave. Can we survive in this putrid Dead Sea? I quote Paul, may it never be. So let's cast aside our individual leprosy and begin to leave a biblical legacy. There's a glorious prize awaiting to be won, and the way to win is to start to run. Let's lace them up and fight the good fight, become to the world both salt and light. Our life on earth is merely a vapor. Our chapter must move from pen to paper. So church, let's get to writing because it's our time. It's our time, church. We have what it takes to help the world from its slumber awake. To Jesus, we are His beautiful bride. Whom shall we fear with Him on our side? We have each other. We are not alone. It's iron to iron in the combat zone. There's a promise of life full of adventure. As long as we give both talents and treasure, the workers are few, the harvest is plenty, with so many lives running on empty. Scores of people trying to cope, they've come to the end of their proverbial rope. Young eyes are wandering, looking for direction. Make sure we point them to His resurrection. The clock's ticking, we're on our dime. Hey church, rise up! It's our time.
Amen. That's I love that video because it reminds me that in days like we live in today, that people are greatly divided and there's a lot of noise out there, a lot of hurting people, a lot of people in difficult spots, that we have a tremendous opportunity. And I know sometimes we get upset, you know, we kind of used to own the block a little bit because we lived in a Christian nation, and so we could speak and say whatever, but now, you know, we look at all the other voices out there, and yet at the same time, I think people are more open than ever. They really are. They're searching and they're looking. Matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. If you're here for the first time, these last few weeks, we've been in the middle of a series called Your Part Matters. I don't know if you saw a Facebook post I put on our page last night, shared from just a neighbor. I don't know the man, but he was walking by and saw Your Part Matters on the sign, and it really spoke to him. And so this series has really been talking to us. We're talking about what we believe as a church. Who are we as followers of Jesus? And does my part matter in all of that? And so we've been talking about how God puts the church together, and every little part, every little cog, every person in the body of Christ matters. First week, we talked about faith, how we want to be people of big faith, faith-filled, bet-the-farm risk-takers. Talked about how, you know, you can't please God without faith. That's what the Bible says. And then last week, we talked about serving. We're not spiritual consumers, but God created us to be contributors. Because the church doesn't exist for us. The church exists for the world. We're called together with a mission to go and reach the world. And so it's not about us. It's about serving each other. It's about serving God. And it's about serving others. Today I want to talk to you about mission. About how important it is. How your part matters when it comes to our mission in reaching people that are far from God. In Mark 2, Jesus called Matthew, who, if you don't know Matthew, and he was a tax collector. He was considered to be very sinful. And matter of fact, because tax collectors were paid, you know, they got their money, their commission from collecting taxes for the Romans. The Jewish people and the religious people saw them as really, they were cheats and liars and sinners, and they had a very bad reputation. And so when Jesus calls Matthew to come and be a disciple, it's quite shocking to the Pharisees. And then it's even worse, because Matthew's so excited about following Jesus that he has a party at his house so all of his friends can meet Jesus. And guess what? All of his friends were sinners and cheats and liars. And so he invites them into this house, and the Pharisees are all twisted up, and they're like, why does Jesus eat, you know, with sinners, and why does he do that thing? But Jesus' response to them is so shockingly controversial, it's almost jaw-dropping. Jesus said this in Mark 2:17, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they are sinners. People who can admit, yeah, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. And that last sentence there would have been just, it would have really thrown the Pharisees off big time. They would have called that heresy, you know, those who think that you didn't come for the right, you're the Messiah. You're supposed to come for the righteous. And just like, oh, no, I've come for the sinners. You don't understand me. Not you who think you're righteous. A while back, I saw a picture that Craig Groeschel had shown in a message. A good friend of his had sent it to him. He works in a drug unit for local police. And he was on a drug bust, and they busted this guy for drugs. But in his house, as they were looking around, he sent Craig a picture, actually, of the guy's nightstand. And it was a pretty powerful picture, and they didn't want to Craig didn't want to publicize it, so they changed it up a little bit. They only changed the brands and some of that stuff a little bit, but everything that's on the table in the picture that I'm about to show you in just a minute, that it's there. There's just been a few change of brands or this, that, or the other. And here's the picture. Now, you see in that picture, you'll see that there's a New Testament there. There's a there's a pastor's book, Steve Furtick. Some of you may be familiar with him. Son, Stand Still. There's drug paraphernalia. There's you know, contraceptives. And what you, that Jesus and we thing, that's a bulletin from Life Church. So this guy that got busted for drugs had been to Life Church that week, Craig's church. And when you look at that picture, see, I think sometimes we think, when we talk about, we tend to think that people who are away from God are far away from God. Like they don't probably own a Bible, and they would never enter a religious bookstore, right? And, you know, they don't even know what time church starts. You know, they're not interested. They aren't looking for God. And so we tend to ignore them. And really what we do is we make an excuse for ourselves to not invite somebody because or give someone an invitation or talk to somebody about Jesus because we think, well, they're far from God. But the reality is, I think a lot more people are like this guy. They're searching. They're looking. I mean, when you look at that, this guy, yeah, there's drugs and there's all kinds of stuff going on there. But there's also some stuff in there that lets you know he's trying to find something. He's made some bad decisions in his life, and he's got caught in this sinful pattern. He's been trapped. And while he's searching for something, he's seeking God out. He's trying to find him. He's being drawn towards what's right, but he's being held back by what's wrong. You know what that's like? I mean, that may not be your nightstand, and you may not be into drugs and all that, but do you remember? Do you know a time? Maybe you're that way this morning. You're searching, you're looking, and you're drawn towards what's right, but you're being held back by what's wrong. For some of you, it's not a drug, it's bitterness. It's the unwillingness to forgive somebody for something they did, and it's holding you back. Or maybe for you, it's lust. Or I don't want to know what it could be this morning, because it could be as different as we all are today. But most of us have been where that guy was, being drawn towards what's right, but being held back by what's wrong. And that's rarely monolithic. It's rarely just one thing. It's a mix of stuff. That's a whole mix. Well, what I want you to understand is that to one degree or another, we've all been there, haven't we? Trying to do what's right, being drawn towards what's right, but being held back by what's wrong. And so Jesus said this, and here's the thing. We tend sometimes to think that good spirituality, people who are right with God, have things together. They got it all together. You know, I am 57 years old now, and I'm trying to think about when I ever had it together in 57 years. There might have been a day, 2 years ago. We rarely have it all. That's not what it's about. It's not having it all organized and neatly put away. Listen, when I came out of high school, I was messed up, man. I mean, I was raised in the church. I grew up in the church. I sat back there somewhere, and usually with a girl with an arm around her. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. And but I remember, and I don't know. I'm not. Listen, I started out. I was joined the church when I was like 6 or 7, 8. 8 years old is when I joined the church. And then when I was 12, I was baptized. Got that all backwards. But, I went to church. I was there and everything up. But I lived like the devil during the week and when I became a teenager. And so here's, and I remember, my life was like this. I was being drawn towards what's right, but I was being held back by what was wrong. And I don't know, I'm not blaming the church. I mean, I'm not going to blame the church. I'm sure I wasn't, I know I wasn't paying attention and I was rebellious and all of that other stuff. And I don't know. Somewhere in all of that, I disconnected. A lot of our teens do. A lot of college kids do. They disconnect for some reason. Whatever it is, we get caught up in us. And I started to seek Jesus when I went to college. My mom wanted me to get away for a year, so I went to college, got away from all the bad influences, and there God started to talk to me. But here's my thing. I continued to struggle with this thing of I got to get my act together in order to take my good act to Jesus. And that's not the way it works. And it wasn't until finally I realized he died for me, my mess and all, that he really did care for me and love me no matter how I performed, that he really did die for my sins. All I had to do was just trust and rely on him and throw myself at his feet, that he came for me. Then I had no other choice but to give my heart and life back to him. Because that's what it's all about. And the thing is today, I want to talk to us about what kind of a church God wants us to be when it comes to reaching people. When it comes to fulfilling because most of the people that are around you, some of them may hate God or some may say they hate God, but the reality is for most of them, they're still searching. They're still trying to find it. And I think God wants us to share with them in such a way that their life can be changed. And so as far as it goes, you know, Jesus gave us the Great Commission, right? An enormous commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel and share, baptize and teach people. And when it comes to telling others about Jesus, what kind of a church does he want us to be? He wants us to be the kind of church who will do anything to reach people who don't know Jesus. We have got to be that kind of church. We will do anything to reach people for Jesus Christ. It's imperative if we're going to accomplish our mission. So let me ask you a question. How are you doing at that? Let's take the last 30 days. Let's take the month of August, okay? And rate yourself from 1 to 10. 1 would be somebody who didn't tell anybody. You didn't tell anybody about Jesus. You didn't share your faith with anyone. You didn't pray for anybody to get saved. You didn't pray for anybody to come to know Jesus. And 10 would be Billy Graham. So you can be a 9, but you can't be Billy Graham, okay? But a 9 would be, I've been praying. I've been sharing my faith. I've been telling people about Christ. I've been inviting them to come to my church and my community group to worship. I've been doing all of those things. If you were to rate yourself in the last month about whether you've been more apathetic or you've been very passionate about sharing Jesus, where would you land? And here's the thing, I think that no matter where you land, we all could probably take it up a notch, couldn't we? Couldn't we all do a little bit better? You say, well, Pastor, why do you say that? Because there are empty seats in here this morning. You see them? So we could do better at filling those seats and bringing people to Jesus. I want to share you a story this morning. Matter of fact, just so you know, your kids this morning are talking about this story in back in the children's ministry with Pastor Shauna today. And she's going to be doing some activities with them, and I'm praying no one gets hurt. But This is something you could talk about today at lunch with your kids, about how to do this. I want to talk to you about how we bring people to Jesus. Because the fact of the matter is that a lot of us, we probably would all say amen. They show surveys that show that 80% of evangelicals believe that you should be witnessing and telling people about Jesus and bringing people to Christ. That same survey shows that only about 20% of people are doing that. Matter of fact, millennials, age 22 to, let me get this age right, because age 22 to 38, that's the millennials. Half of all millennials believe it's wrong to push your faith onto others, despite the fact that the Bible says we should share our faith with other people. We can do better at this. How do we do better at this? Well, here's the story in Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, actually earlier in that chapter than what you just read this morning. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, if you know the story at all, you know that Jesus did also tell him to take his mat, rise up, and walk. And so he healed him of his physical, issue that was going on. But the most important thing for Jesus was to forgive him for his sins. God comes first in Jesus. I'm going to give you two big thoughts today out of this story about how we can be a church that really does audaciously witness to others, okay? Here's the first one. God calls all of us who are Jesus followers to bear some burdens. Bear some burdens. We're to care for those who are in a place of hurt or a place of need in our lives. In fact, that's exactly what happened here, right? Four guys picked this guy up on a mat. They heard that Jesus was going to be nearby. We don't know, but how far they had to carry him. But they picked him up on a mat and they took him to, "We've got to get you to Jesus." Now, what I want you to notice is they didn't say, "Hey, look, I hear that Jesus guy is going to be over here. He's coming home. He's going to give a big concert. And, you ought to get a ticket. Get a cab. Get your way over there." They didn't do that. Well, what they did say was, "You know what? Whatever it takes, we hear Jesus is here. And you know what? Whatever it takes to get you there, we will get you there." Could have been 5 miles. Could have been 10 miles. We don't know how far they carried him. But they cared enough about this man to pick him up and take him to Jesus. My observation for all these years of ministry is that one of our great weaknesses today is that when it comes to our faith, we do a lot of drive-by shooting. You know what drive-by shooting is? It's a bad thing. It's just somebody drives by, people standing on the corner or wherever, they roll down the window and they shoot them, right? Well, we do a lot of that as witnessing sometimes. We just kind of drive by people's lives, say, "Hey, man, are you doing all right? Oh, that's too bad. Jesus loves you. Come to church." And we drive off. We don't really get involved. We don't really get engaged in people's lives. I got to be honest, in this day and age in which we live, where there's so many things thrown at you, I don't know if that works anymore. I know we have good intentions when we do that. But people need to know that we care about them. Not that we're trying to convert them to our religion. They need to really know that we care. You notice when you read about Jesus in the Gospels, every time somebody came to him, there's no doubt that he cared about them. Is that the same for you and I? That we would engage people at such a level and we go, "You know what? I know that they really care." You've heard this said, right? People, they don't really care about what you say until they know that you care. And that's the reality in this world in which we live. We got to get involved in their lives. We got to indicate to them, "I'm willing to bear your burden. I'm willing to pick up the corner of your mat and carry you." And that's the other thing. Listen, invitations, we put an invitation in your hand and just throw in an invitation. You could do a drive-by. There's lots of people on street corners around Topeka. You could drive by and just throw an invitation at them. That's a drive-by. That's not good, okay? But what we got to do is instead, what we do sometimes? We invite people, "Hey, you ought to come to my church. You ought to come to my church. We're having this event. What happened to the days when we used to bring people with us? You remember that? "Hey, I really want you to hear this. I really want you to be a part of this. I will pick you up. and you can go with me, and I'll take you there, and then we'll go to the service, say it's a Sunday morning thing, and then after service, we'll go out and eat. I'll feed you. You just, what these guys do? These guys just didn't go, hey, man, hope you get there. Jesus in town, take a cab, Uber. No. They said, we're going to take, who are you physically taking to Jesus? Who are you physically bringing to your community group? Who are you physically bringing to worship with you? I mean, that's what these guys did. They got engaged and involved. To accomplish our mission, we're going to have to carry them, which means you have to bring them. You have to get them here. Second, here's the other thing. You know what? There were four guys carrying his bed. That means it takes teamwork. It's a team effort to do this. Honey, come here for a minute. Yeah, you're the only honey I have. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, did I? Okay, that's because I didn't know if I had the nerve. Wow. Anyway, so now, you see, Lou Ann and I, she is, I am much larger. You trust me?
No.
Okay. But see, if I wanted to take her to Jesus, I could take her. Oh, yeah, I could. Yeah, I could. Now, you take me to Jesus.
I need some help.
Oh, there you go. All right. Good job. You can go sit down. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. Listen, some people, yeah. Those are the ones that like you better than me. All of you. I like her better than me. Here's the thing. You get what I'm saying? Some people, it may be easy. You can bring them to Jesus by yourself, but there are a lot of people that are too big for you to pick up. That's why there's four guys on the corner of this mat. That's why when somebody brings somebody to church or somebody brings somebody to your community group or somebody brings somebody, you're with them over at their house to eat and somebody's trying to bring somebody to Jesus, they need you maybe to pick up a corner. Do you know why we shake hands on Sunday morning? It's so you can see all your friends. No, it's not. You're supposed to laugh at that. It's so you can pick up a corner. Maybe there was somebody who you don't know here that somebody else brought to Jesus. And they're bringing them here, and you need to go meet them, and you need to engage them, and you need to have a relationship. You need to get in there and pick up. It takes a team sometimes because, listen, some people, the burden is so heavy that they need other people to help them pick it up. Some of you may be able to get your kids here, but you're going to need somebody else to come up alongside because you can get them here, but you're going to need somebody else to come up alongside. That's why we've got to have our eyes open and our hearts looking around and saying, I've got to bear somebody's burden. If we're going to bring people to Jesus, it's going to take a team effort, right? Because there's nothing worse than bringing somebody here and some wing-wong and some wing-wong just kind of says something that's hateful or harsh or bitter or and offends somebody else. And what we need to do is we need to be alert and say, God, is there a corner here today you want me to pick up? Is there somebody else I need to pull up alongside? Is there somebody else that I need to be praying with this person who's trying to bring them to Jesus? We got to bear some burdens. We got to be willing to say, come on, Lord, what do you have for me? How can I help other people get to Jesus? Sometimes, just like this, well-meaning people were standing in the door around Jesus. I'm sure some of them were standing there listening to him. Oh, that's really good. I need to tweet that. Or, you know what? I need to get a picture. Let me get a selfie of me and Jesus while he's teaching in here. You know, sometimes we can get so busy with our stuff around here that the folks who are trying to get to Jesus can't get to him. Did you hear that? Sometimes we get so busy with our stuff and doing our thing that we're not paying attention to people who are trying to get to Jesus so they can find healing. We got to bear some burdens, and we got to be willing to open up so that people will know that they're cared for. I don't know how this will play out for you. I don't know who in your life Jesus is asking you to come and to pick up. But I know this, it may be some of you go like, man, I'm not equipped. I don't have the words. I wouldn't know what to say. That doesn't matter. God will put people around you to help you pick them up. To have confidence as a church that we together, that we're all into this, and this is so important to us, and this is who we are, that you won't ever have to worry about bringing somebody here to Jesus. Because you're going to know there's other people that are going to help pick up a corner of the mat. See, I believe that God calls all of us to bear some burdens, to carry people to him, that he doesn't just want us to, you know, he wants us to help pick people up and bring them to him. Second thing is this. God calls all of us who are Jesus followers to break some rules. Now, some of you are going to get blessed on this because that's what you love to do. I'm kind of one of those people myself. I kind of love to break rules. For instance, I never, ever waited 30 minutes to go swimming after a meal. You know what I'm talking about? Matter of fact, sometimes I took my meal in the water with me. Went out into the deep, I found and put it on the inner tube, and I ate out there. You talk about looking death in the face and shaking your fist. Anyway, I don't know, that stuff, it doesn't bother me. I never did. When I was a kid, we didn't wear seatbelts. My mom was my seatbelt. How many of you growing up, when you were a baby, your mom was your seatbelt, right? Yep. So I was bouncing around, and still here I am, even though I hit my head hard. You probably know that. But anyway, I mean, I ran with scissors. I ran with suckers in my mouth. I mean, I have sniffed more magic markers than you could even count. I love to break the rules. In this story, these guys break the rules. They hit this wall, right? They can't get to Jesus. And so they decided, you know what? Let's go up on the roof and let's dig a hole in, and then we'll lower him through the hole. Now, do you know what their roofs were made of? It's not exactly what we make ours out of. For instance, if Trinity Contract Company were to come out to your house, this is a new program we're starting. We will advertise your business in the sermon. But Trinity, roofing at its highest. We're not talking prices, are we? Oh well, anyway. If you got problems with your roof, see Dana, or better yet, see Shelly, because he does what she tells him to. So anyway, according to one commentator, all right, we can go to the next slide because I don't want to get in trouble. They had posts or beams that were about 3 feet apart, and the roof was actually made up of mud, fat, and manure. Yeah, thanks, honey. Dana will not put manure on your roof, I promise. But the manure kind of helped hold it together and actually kind of served as a fertilizer, because they would let grass grow on the roof. And then they could go up there and when it rolls, you know, in the cool of the evening and everything else. And so these guys go up on the roof and they literally dig down through the roof. Now, it doesn't say they had a shovel. It's quite possibly they just dug it out with their hands. And they dig through manure. Sometimes you have to dig through a little manure to get somebody to Jesus. Sometimes you got to dig through some nasty stuff. Sometimes you got to dig through some stuff that don't smell too good and is hard. And boy, I know for some of us, it's like, man, we draw the line. Like, we're willing to do all this witnessing stuff. We're willing to take somebody to Jesus, but I don't want to have to do anything tough. I don't have to do anything hard. You could imagine, I'm trying to imagine these guys, they're digging. They probably didn't bring a shovel with them, so it was with their hands. When they got it dug, you know, they talk about lowering him. But, you know, I remember my flannel graph, you know, they had ropes. But I don't see anything in the Bible says they had ropes. They're just kind of handing him down, probably to the people in the room, to lay the man there in front of Jesus. But they dig through the roof, and they bust through it. That's very unconventional. But they were willing to break the rules. Here's what I love about these guys. They weren't willing to let any obstacle stand in their way of their friend getting to Jesus. Do you feel that way about somebody? You feel that way about your son or your daughter or your grandchildren? Feel that way about your mom and dad? You feel that way about your coworker, that kid who sits next to you and maybe you do lab with them at school? Do you feel that way about somebody? That I won't let anything stop me from getting them to Jesus. Because let me tell you something, when you start trying to bring people to Jesus, the enemy will try to stop you. Right. And you have to be determined. We have to be dogged. We have to be like, this is the most important thing in the world. I've got to get my friend to Jesus. I've got to get my loved one there. What could God do with a bunch of people who are so crazy that they would do anything to bring their friends and their family in Topeka to Jesus Christ? What could he do through us? What could he do through you? What rules are you willing to break? What obstacles are you willing to overcome to reach people that no one's reaching, guess what? We're probably going to have to do some things nobody else is doing. You know, it used to be a few hundred years ago, the church was kind of at the center of everything. Somewhere along the way, everything happened. I don't know what happened. Somewhere along the way, the church kind of delegated its innovation to Apple, you know. We just handed off creativity to Hollywood. We gave relationships to Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, said you can have those. We allowed the government to meet the needs of the poor when we're the best equipped and we're the ones who are mandated to give people something to drink and something to eat. See, that's why it's important that we've got to quit just going to church, but we have to go out into the world and be the church. Because as a church, when we recognize that Jesus didn't come for the healthy, that he came for the sick, and that we're all sick and that we're all in need of his grace. Do you remember when you were sick? Do you remember when you were far from God? Do you remember when you were lost? I can remember when I was, even though it was many years ago. Still remember trying to make myself good enough. Still remember trying to get my act together. Still remember trying to keep rules. I didn't even know why we had those rules. I still remember me trying to overcome my own temptation, and I just am not very good at that. I fail a lot. And I still remember the day at a chapel service at what was then Bethany Nazarene College. And guess what? I was sitting in the back, and God got a hold of me, and I made my way down to a place to pray, and I resurrendered my life because I figured out I'm not good at this. And you didn't ask me to be. See, I didn't think God loved me unless I performed correctly. But to understand God loves me anyway, did you know God loves you anyway? I don't know who in this room was perfect this week, but I bet any of us that would hold our hands up, really? Because we all fail and we all stumble. We all struggle. Doesn't mean we backslide, but I need the grace of God. I need the grace of God to get me through every day. I know this, none of us can live into this kingdom without his grace. None of us can live in this kingdom without his Holy Spirit in us that empowers us. And so, you know what? If you had a bad week this week, I want you to know something. The power of the Holy Spirit can help you have a better week this week. All you got to do is lean on him. I want you to know this morning that if you're far from the kingdom, I want you to know that he loves you and he cares for you, and it's not about what you've done in the past. He died so that today he could forgive you for all of that and you could have a brand new start. You could begin again. I know today that the heart of holiness is all about, I don't depend on my power, but I depend on the sanctified power of the Holy Spirit that lives in my life. He's the one who cleanses me and washes me. I don't cleanse and wash myself. He's the one who cleanses me and washes me as I ask him and invite him into every moment of my life. See, for us, for you and I, there's hope. But see, here's the thing. If you can't remember when you were messed up, you're probably going to have a hard time reaching people who are. Because the reality is that some of us, sometime in our righteousness and our goodness, sometimes we forget what it feels like to be lost. You remember what it was like to be lost? Do you remember what it was like to be found? Wouldn't you want to help somebody else experience that? That's the mission God's given us. It's why you're still here. It's to help others know him. And so this morning, I just want to remind you that we are a light setting on a hill in the dark. And Jesus said that light, as it burns out, will draw men to him. When I think of our church, I want us to be a church that doesn't judge those who are without Christ, but loves those who are without Christ in the grace of Jesus. I want to be a church that will bear burdens and get messy, get dirty, get our hands dirty, and get involved in the lives of people. I want to be a church that will break the rules, that will do anything short of sinning in order to draw people back to Jesus. We're called to be a church who needs to reach out to the sick, and help them to know what it means to be healed, to know what it means to go from being a dark, desperate sinner to being living in the light of forgiveness. So here's my question for you this morning. What burdens are you willing to bear? What burdens are you willing to bear? What burdens in people's lives? How far are you willing to go? How much are you willing to carry? It may be that somebody's too big for you. Man, get you three other friends and bring people to Jesus. Are you willing to bear the burdens of others? Sometimes the enemy gets us, listen, the enemy gets us so caught up in our own burdens that he distracts us from being used to reach people who have burdens around us. Don't do that. What burdens are you willing to bear? What rules are you willing to break to bring somebody to Jesus? Maybe another way to say that for those of you that are rule keepers. What barriers are you willing to knock over for somebody to find Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives? When you know that by the grace of God, we all are dependent on that grace. When you recognize that you've been where other people are, and you realize that you have a role, you have a part in reaching the kingdom. You know, I mentioned last week some of our other situations and circumstances around town, other churches. Here's what I know about us. We all have a unique set of friends and neighbors and family to reach. So your part matters. You're here for a reason. And the reason that you're here, that whatever it is that God puts you here as a part of this, you have a reason for being here, and you have people that only you can reach. I can't reach them. The staff can't reach them. The church down the street can't reach them. God's put you there. Who's God wants you to reach out to? Because in the end, when it comes to bringing people to Jesus, whatever your part is, your part matters. We're going to pray, and I want you to bow your heads. I'll tell you what I want you to do, too, this morning, because this is part of our prayer of the day. I want you to take that invitation that you were given, that I hope you took when you came in this morning, and just keep it in your hand for just a moment. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I am so glad. I mean, we sung about it, the first song, that you didn't give up on me because I made it real easy. I knew it, I had it all, and I gave it all away. But you didn't give up on me. You haven't given up on me now. God, thank you today for your love that reaches beyond all the barriers. Thank you for reaching me. Will you just thank God for reaching you if you're a Christian this morning? And if you're not a believer this morning, I just wonder, you've heard all this today. I want you to know God cares about you. And maybe something in this service, something was said that you recognize that you've been carrying some stuff and God wants you to lay it down. Most of all, he just wants to lay down your sin, the guilt, the regret. Just lay it down this morning and say, and just ask him, Lord, Lord, forgive me for my sin. I lay all my guilt. I've been a part of this stuff. I've tried to leave my life and do it my way. I'm ready to do it your way. Forgive me for all my sins. Let what Jesus did on the cross count for me this morning. Make me righteous because of what Jesus did. I believe he died for my sin, and my sin was on that cross. Forgive me. Forgive me and help me to follow you. Change my life this morning. Oh. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus. Would you ask him right now, God, whose burden do you want me to carry? Is there somebody in my family? Is there somebody at work? Is there somebody at school? Is there somebody in my neighborhood? Somebody on my ball team? Somebody in my hobby club? God, who around me do you need me to pick up and bring to you? Father, will you help me remove the obstacles? Maybe there's somebody you know of, and there's so many obstacles. Maybe even in your own heart, every time God speaks to you about that person, you throw up some barriers and say, well, this and that. Would you just give those barriers to God right now? God, please remove the barriers from the people you want me to share you with this week so somebody can know your love, so somebody can know forgiveness. And now, God, we've got this card in our hand for Friend Day in a couple of weeks. Will you tell me who you want me to give this to? Who do you want me to invite to hear a story? To hear a story about who you are and what you did, and maybe they might come to know you. God, who do you want me to invite? God, tell me who to pick up and give me the courage to do it this week, wherever you want me to put this card, whoever you want me to give this to. God, I believe you want us to make us a church that doesn't just go out into the world, but a church that will bring the world to you like these men. May you put a passion in our heart for those that are lost. God, may you put a passion in our heart for those around us who are hurting. And Lord, might we see our families change. Might we see our community change. Might we see, Father, our neighborhood change because of who you are and what we know you want to do through us. We love you today, and we give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, band's going to come, and we're going to sing a last song here in just a second. But I wanted to tell you a couple of things. First of all, if you prayed this morning and you had an experience with Jesus Christ and you asked him to forgive you for your sins, I'd love to know about it and would love to talk to you for a few minutes. Pastor Nicole, either Pastor Nicole or I will be back in the pallet wall over in the corner, and you come tell us about that. If you're a visitor here with us, we'd love to have you come so we can meet you a little bit more. Here's the other thing. I really do want you to be praying this week. We can do all kinds of stuff, right? But that's not what wins people to the kingdom. The 15th is just an opportunity. I had a couple of you email me this week of stories of people you've invited, and they're bringing friends with them. That's what it's about. It's just an opportunity. I believe with all my heart that when we start to live this out, what we talked about today, and we're willing to carry people's burdens, and we're willing to get our hands dirty, you know, and we're willing to take some risk, I believe that there are a lot of folks out here that it's not just about filling this room, but it's about seeing people's lives be changed and experience the same grace and mercy and power that we've experienced in our life. God wants to build the kingdom. Let's go out there this week and bring the kingdom to light all over Topeka. And let's see what God can do through us in the days that are ahead. Will you stand this morning as the worship team leads us in a closing number? Hope you'll come back next week and bring somebody with you.